Welcome back, everybody, to another day of trading on the floor of Dynasty Wall Street. Russ, John, Travis back again to use DynastyTradeCalculator.com and all of its trading and ranking goodness to help you get the better of your league mates, to get the better of your league, and to just have a great time playing fantasy football. We are jumping right in with some QB shenanigans, if you will, which is apparently just the word of this podcast now.
As it should be.
I go away for New Year's and all of a sudden we talk shenanigans for like the entire year so far. But let's jump in. Travis has some QB fun for us. What are we doing today, Travis?
Okay. So, I know the 2024 draft basically just happened like 2-3 weeks ago, whatever it is. Yeah. And so, but we're looking ahead to the future today. Cause we always do compare to future picks, but I want to get a little bit weird and talk about the dynamics of dynasty leagues and valuing, you know, rookie picks for 1 and 2 years out, like the summer after the draft, right? Cause like, it's not point scoring season yet. It's not, you know, you don't want to move off these picks because in many leagues for dynasty purposes, you're just now getting access to your 2026 picks. You don't want to immediately just turn those and burn those. But if you think you have a handle on future classes, or if you're okay reacquiring picks down the road, it can be really strategic in how you acquire players to score points ahead of point scoring season, ahead of the time where you might be panicked and have to make another acquisition and overpay in the middle of point scoring season. So there's all sorts of reasons to at least assess the value of future NFL draft classes, the value of your current rookie picks versus key pivotal positions in super flex leagues, which is what we talk about a lot. So I wanted to take a look at the quarterback market for kind of a bunch of players that we might be okay not necessarily building around or unsure of building around confidently at this point. So really wanted to take a look at 2025 first round picks, put some names there, some future quarterbacks who might be coming in alongside some quarterbacks that are probably on the cheaper side in many leagues, and you might be able to acquire them in Superflex for, you know, maybe less than you might think in terms of future capital. So first off, my question, because I wanted to just see how you guys are viewing 2025 collectively, just to kind of frame things. I don't know if you're tuning in May to a Dynasty podcast, you probably already understand, but the collective perception for 2025 is that it's not as deep as the class that we just saw, right? So especially at the quarterback position. However, we can get to some names there, but random 2025 first versus a slew of quarterbacks. So I kind of want to run things by you here. And we did a similar exercise maybe 2 months ago or something like that. But I just want to see post-draft, because there's already been some adjustments and updates to the Dynasty Trade Calculator. And really, after the draft, pick values just shift inexplicably, like in every single one of my leagues. So I wanted to kind of regauge as we head into the last bit of the, you know, not very active season, you know, after rookie drafts are completed. So a random 2025 first. Let's assume it's mid-range, but, you know, that team might make the playoffs, or if they have an injury, it becomes an early. It really could be any kind of range of outcome for your 2025 first in this case. Or I'm going to start at a spot that's hopefully less predictable. I'm going to reassess here with Bryce Young first and foremost, and I want to kick it off to John, see where he lands right now with the random 2025 first versus Bryce Young today.
I have a hard time just saying random, because that could literally be anywhere, 1 to 12.
Okay.
Well, I feel like I really do. Like, I don't know if my team's really bad or really good.
Yeah.
And then there's like, you know, the 3 to 10.
Yeah. 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 Like, okay. Well,
so that three, because
most leagues, that's probably what it is.
Yeah. So if I'm like in that middle range, I think I give that for Bryce Young. I mean, adding a quarterback, a young quarterback, I'm never against that in Superflex Dynasty. With the way that I play quarterback in Superflex, he would probably be competing for my QB2 slot. It's going to be like him or Aiden O'Connell, Derek Carr. So like on a lot of my teams, he would be an improvement at my QB2 slot. So that's going to make my pick be less valuable anyways.
Interesting.
Because you can usually fill in that QB2 slot for relatively cheap. And I mean, honestly, like a single first in the future is not expensive to get a young quarterback.
Right. Especially if we're talking about a class that we're not sure we're going to get six first rounders in again next year. So Russ, are you on the same page with just leaning young there over the first?
I have in recent history rejected many offers of a random 25 first for Bryce Young. You know, all of the Trade Addicts rookie drafts are pretty much done at this point. And I have a couple of shares of Young, and it's always give me a few spots here and then take my 25 first and give me Young, you know, like a young and a 25 first was always part of a lot of deals. Yeah. And I rejected all of them. You know, I would much rather hold on to Young at that point because, first of all, I'm not ready to give up on him. He was thrown into a trash heap and said, you know, do your best. And he did, you know, but when all you have is Adam Thielen.
And he did.
Like, there's nothing you can really do about it. Like, say what you want about CJ Stroud, you know. He had an insanely better situation than Bryce Young did. And Bryce Young is a very good prospect. He didn't look bad. Like he wasn't making bad decisions. He wasn't even like running for his life. Like you remember, like Sam Darnold said he was seeing ghosts at some point because he was just getting destroyed. Like that didn't happen with Bryce Young either. I'm not ready to give up. And especially, okay, so I love bringing in Deontay Johnson. I am about Leggett, but like they also brought in a lot of offensive linemen. They got him later, but Jatavion Sanders was all of our like pre-draft tight end too. So I still love that they brought him in.
And we say later, but like in most drafts, that's actually in the end of round three. Like you know,
yeah. So well, after last year where there was like 16 tight ends taken in round two, being drafted in the third or fourth round feels late.
Yeah,
like, that's very normal. Actually, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm not giving up on Young and agree with John that he's my QB2 on all of those teams. Like he's not my QB3. He is absolutely my two. Like he will be playing. I'm not ready to give up for him like a random first for him. I believe he will be a better prospect than the QBs coming in.
This I thought that's where you were gonna lean. So let's add a second to the mix. A 2025 first and second.
That never really sways me very far. No. If I'm moving off of something like that, it needs to be for one thing worthwhile.
Okay. Or maybe like a known piece like that you can properly quantify.
Yes. That would make it a lot easier for me to do. Like if it was wide receiver and a second, you know, wide receiver that was worth that 25 first, that of course isn't coming to me off the top of my head. But like that would absolutely make me think about it a lot more than it just being a random pick.
Okay. Well, and one thing that I was thinking about this is why I wanted to start with Young specifically. If you were able to acquire Young, if you were in position to do so the previous season, you were probably already in some sort of rebuild state or you traded up into that spot. In many cases, your roster is not already where it needs to be. So I was curious, like even if there was some kind of pick package, like a 2025 first and a 2025 second and a 2026 second. So we're talking about a first and 2 seconds for Bryce Young, you know, in many cases, knowing that maybe your team's not necessarily ready to compete. And this is the final step. I'm not going to keep on adding layers. Promise.
I stick to what I said before. At this point, we're compiling value that.
Yeah.
First of all, I have to wait forever to realize.
I know.
You know, I'd probably be more likely if it was 2 25 seconds as opposed to a 25 and a 26. But again, I still, you're right. If you drafted Young, you had the 103.
I mean, you were probably not in, you know, prime, hey, win now situation. And you could basically, you're kicking the can even further down the road. So I get it.
It doesn't, like, I don't feel the need to reroll on him yet. And that's really what this is. That's my sticking point in this. If that first was the first value of an actual player, it would be a completely different conversation. But just for 25 first, I don't feel the need to re-roll, especially if I don't play this way, but I know a lot of people do, like trying to think of it as a one-for-one replacement. What QB am I going to draft with that 25 first?
Yeah.
And the chances are I'm going to want Bryce Young over any of them, regardless of the seconds that come along with it.
Okay. Well, I'm curious where John goes, and I'll plug in some names here just for the listeners so you can kind of familiarize yourself if you're not already with some of the guys to be watching for next year.
So far, I'm still on the Bryce Young side. I will say, like, the 2 seconds is – that's not one that I'm going to immediately hit reject on. I'm probably going to explore my team. I mean, if you offered, like, a 25 first and a 26 first,
that would
probably gets it done for me. That I'm makes probably me moving out real easy.
So but two firsts, 25 and 26 first.
Yeah, but – and a lot of people say, like, well, 2 seconds equals a first, but – no, it doesn't for me. Like,
right.
Nothing equals a first. You can give me 5 seconds. It doesn't equal a first because there is just so much more known and the hit rate is so much better for first round picks than it is for second round picks. So
2 picks of a 25% hit rate does not equal 1 pick of a 50% hit rate.
It doesn't. That math is that is not how it works. So I think that's where you really have to go to get me to move off of Young or like Russ said. I really like that approach. If I'm trying to get Young, what I want to offer is a player that maybe I don't think is going to have the same value a year from now. Mm-hmm. And that second round, you know, give me that player that's worth a late first and that's second. Fair. I'll offer that and I'll take Young.
So. I'm glad you say that because I mean I'm playing just in pick land right now, but realistically there's always going to be some wiggle room involved in trades. But I like to kind of think through like where the pick value is because that helps me establish the ancillary player or additional player that's on that level that I could probably sub in, sub out. But the calculator for what it's worth with Young specifically, and we can plug in some different names here that fit different molds, but the calculator would say that 2025 and a 2026 first is actually a pretty easy decision on the pick side. You know, getting 2 future firsts for Young, the value is around 26.2 for that, and Young's is 19.7. But any mix of the seconds, like first and second next year, that's still Bryce. First and second, like 2025, 2026, that's still. But if you do get the 2025 first, a 2025 second, and a 2026 second, or 2 second material, it says, you know, the calculator does lean towards the second and the first just slightly. And I get that on market value. Hit rate, you're assuming some risk and, you're kicking the can down the road there. But, 3 players for the one that we're collectively as a community unsure of to begin with. I get that from a market standpoint, but is there any difference on Will Levis before I can, shift it to a completely different, kind of archetype of value in the market for quarterback?
Will Levis is worth less. Yeah.
Okay. I would rather have Bryce Young. It's not, I mean, not terribly different for me, but I'd rather have Bryce Young.
Okay.
I would rather have Bryce Young. A lot of it comes down to stability. Like, it feels like they're going to give Bryce Young another, 2 years to try and do his best. But, I feel like the Titans are in a spot where if Levis doesn't work out with everything they put around him, they're going to try for something else. You know, they're putting pieces together. It's the same thing like they did for the Eagles did for Jalen Hurts and all of the right thing to do. You know, when Tua wasn't doing it with Devontae Parker, they're like, all right, let's go. Let's get Tyreek Hill and draft Jalen Waddle. And, you know, they
imagine surround. Struggling when your wide receiver one is Devontae Parker.
Yeah. When your wide receiver one is a 47-year-old Adam Thielen. Deontay Johnson, Tyreek Hill or Jalen Waddle. But still, I think Bryce Young is a little more insulated and, A, talented, and B, dependable. He's not the gunslinger that Levis is, and that comes with a little bit more safety, though it also comes with a lower ceiling. So I have a lot of Levis shares just in case this magically works out, because it would just be so much fun if it did.
It would.
These quarterbacks are good for fantasy football and they're good for the NFL, guys that are just willing to just stand in the pocket and throw the ball as far, not as far as they can, because Levis might get it out of the stadium.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to kind of regauge because, I mean, he does have, like, the oldest wide receiver group in the league, but they're all good. Like, Boyd actually fits the system that Callahan came from. Like, he's had ridiculous production, actually, with Callahan as the guy, you know, calling the plays. Not off the charts production, but he's still produced in that big slot role for that offense, and so that's important. And you've got Hopkins.
Wide receivers in the league.
Right. And DeAndre Hopkins, who is not washed at all. He was killing it outside. He might be older, but he's still got it.
Bring in this guy and I will be an instant Titans. Like, if T. Higgins shows up in a Titans uniform, I will move to Tennessee. That's how big of a Titans fan I'll be. I might have to get divorced for that, but it might be worth it.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, and then Calvin Ridley. So they have weapons. So I just wondered what the shift was on his value at all, given how aggressively they're trying to build around him. But I mean, they're really building around Bryce Young with, I don't really like Leggett, but they, you know, with the first round wide receiver, second round running back, very beginning of the fourth round tight end. They're like, hey, we need all the weapons plus Deontay Johnson. You know, they're doing all they can. They could probably afford anyway to figure that out. So I just wanted to know kind of where that's at. But there's a whole big chunk of quarterbacks that I think are around confusing in terms of value. So for a lot of people. And so there's Matthew Stafford, Baker Mayfield, and Kirk Cousins. And first, I want to just have you guys rank those guys, and then I'll pass the baton as we compare these guys to the picks. But Matthew Stafford, Baker Mayfield, Kirk Cousins. And then I kind of forgot to pitch to some names for the future classes, but I'll do that real quick after you guys rank.
Stafford, Baker, Cousins.
Yep.
Is that it?
Yes, sir.
And Young.
Yeah.
We've moved on.
Just these three players, Stafford, Baker, Cousins.
And I think you guys would probably rank Young over all three of them, but I'm not sure. So,
man, I
would take Cousins over Young. I think I'd slot Young in next. So Cousins obviously is my one. I'll go Stafford and then Baker out of this list of three.
I have Baker and Stafford, but I still have, man, like I get that contracts are never what they look like in the NFL. You know, Cousins got that big 4-year contract, and really it's just a 2-year contract, but it felt better when they didn't go and draft his succession plan, you know, out of nowhere at the 8th pick overall. Like, that's not, let's give Cousins 4 years and see what Penix does. Like, that is, as soon as we can get out of Cousins, we're going to use Penix. But still, give me 2 years of Kirk Cousins in that offense, and I'm there, especially at the price that you have to pay. Baker and Stafford are kind of the flip of a coin, in which case, give me the younger guy, I guess, that just got signed. Because every year we pull the, is Stafford retiring? And I know you're with this level of quarterback, you're not really counting on more than 1 year at a time, but I still feel better with Baker at this point. That also may be a little bit of feeling let down with Stafford last year. And it's not like Baker did all that much better, but I guess the level of expectations, you know, were very, very different between the two.
Okay. I think I would go Cousins, Stafford, Baker, just because I think Stafford is going to do more than fine this year. He's frankly been one of the better quarterbacks in the league for a very, very long time, even when he wasn't getting credit for that in that way. And even when he was struggling with injury early in his career, he was still, like, on the field. He was one of the best.
And he's still 26 somehow. So,
yeah, maybe add 10 years to that. But
he's another one of those guys that came into the league at like 17. So it just feels like he's been in the league forever and he's always been young.
I mean, yeah, he came in 2009. So he's been here a minute.
Been around. Yeah.
Yeah. But. Okay.
Baker's only 26.
No, Baker's 29.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But okay, those three. In fact, since we know where you guys go with the peak here, Kirk Cousins or 2025 first.
I'd say Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, I would give it for Young. I would definitely give it for Cousins.
Okay. How about the first and second? Does that change anything at all again?
Yeah, I mean, I would throw in the second if I had to get Cousins still.
Okay.
Both sides of this, actually. Like, if I had a good team, and especially if it's my 25 first, I would easily throw in my second to get the deal done. On the other side, if I'm kicking off a rebuild,
Yeah.
And someone offers me a 25 first and second, I'd probably take that as well.
Okay. Well, the calculator actually says that all of these quarterbacks should be worth less than a 2025 mid first. So that's interesting. Because if we get into the names and we try to plug in some of these players that are going to be coming out, you're talking about, you know, potentially a lot of people are leaning towards Carson Beck in recent weeks being the quarterback one. He's the starting quarterback right now for Georgia. You know, he hung around, didn't play basically at all for 3 years, hopped on the field, and, you know, almost got Georgia back to the promised land again. And Georgia's actually returning a good amount of production. I know they're losing Bowers, they're losing McConkey, but they're losing Marcus Rosen, Jack Saint. But they're returning a bunch of key offensive pieces around them, especially on the line, and might actually improve in a couple of line spots where they lost somebody because the stud behind him is so freaking good. They were just younger. So Beck is in a prime spot to you know, go in that range. And then you've got Quinn Ewers, who just took Texas all the way kind of back to the college football playoff last year. He was a five-star player. He had the mullet coming in. He shed the mullet, no longer has the sweet hair. But he's holding off somehow the hype machine that is Arch Manning. And so there's a lot of people that believe Quinn Ewers is going to be a first-round pick. In fact, we were talking about him being a first-round pick this year, which he probably would have been had he declared, which would have been insane because we could have had seven guys.
Any quarterback, it seems like, would have been a first-round pick this year.
I mean, yeah, and he had been kind of mocked that way for up until basically he would – said I'm coming back. he was assumed to be a first round pick for a very long time, so he's already in that mix. And then you throw, you know, a lot of people want to rank Shedeur Sanders way up there. Now he's gonna have to clean up a lot of things before he's in that mix, but you know, it gets clicks, so people, you know, throw his name in there. And then you've got you know, and then after that you got maybe even like Jalen Milroe, quarterback Alabama, who actually he looked pretty horrible last year to begin things in his first you know, first few starts. But with you know, Kalen DeBoer's offense, the offense that just built around Michael Penix this last year coming in, and he's way more of a dual threat. People think that he can be a first round pick. I've seen mock drafts of him first overall, believe it or not. And then Jackson Dart, quarterback Ole Miss. They just basically, most of their team is transfers this year, just how it kind of worked out. But they've got a bunch of pieces building around him. So there's five other names probably that are in the mix next year. I mean, Connor Weigman, if things come together, Drew Aller, if things come together, those are like, you know, young guys. But it's interesting to me because none of the guys, the first five guys I named, are even going to be early declares next year. They're all like year four and beyond type guys. But for a class that seems down, I know I just named guys who could be in the first round, but I think when you think about the profiles and think about the hit rate for some of these guys, almost none of those guys profile as well or even close to as well as the top three in this class, maybe top four in this class, from like a passing analytics standpoint. So you're really talking about guys that even next year probably are valued worse or like below like a JJ McCarthy in many cases. So I think that's probably why the 2021st is valued where it is and why you guys value where it is. But I will say JJ McCarthy in the calculator is like 24 and all these guys are like 12. So if it is that any of those quarterbacks or a few of those quarterbacks do see an uptick in value a year from now, even though we're not super excited about them, most people are probably going to value them as significantly more than this trio of quarterbacks. So I just thought that was interesting. But yeah, any notes or questions on the future guys or anything like that?
I don't know any of those guys.
Well, there you go. I didn't make up all the names, I promise.
I do know the names. Yeah. The only one I'm surprised by is that Arch Manning is still at Texas, honestly.
Well, yeah, and that's, well, in this day and age, yeah, but it's
he's so making funny. A ton there. He's making a ton. But
the thing is, like, he's only his second year. Like, he's entering his second year. Like, it was not common for people to just, like, I'm out after, like, 1 year if he's not the guy. And he's a Manning, so he's like, I don't, you know.
Honestly, like, don't need it. Getting on the field can only hurt him at this point. Like,
basically, because the assumption
like,
is he's, like,
come out and look like a Manning, then, you know, his value of in life will never go down because his last name is Manning. But like
he did kind of look like a Manning in the spring game for what it's worth.
Yeah.
But people, it's a spring game. So
I'm curious if coming into this next draft year, if like you said, there's like Ewers is going to probably be a first round pick. Beck is probably going to be a first round pick. But I'm curious if 2020, whatever the Malik Willis year, what was it, 2 years ago?
2022.
All the years melt together at this point. I can never remember anymore. Like, I'm curious if that year has sort of burned people a little bit on the idea of always assuming the better quarterbacks are going to be first round picks and that those first round picks are worthwhile. Like Kenny Pickett being a first round quarterback, and not like anyone really spent on him in rookie drafts or anything, but I'm curious if we are willing to say, oh, this guy got drafted 10th overall and he's the only quarterback in the first, but he's kind of to see if he doesn't get pushed up into a top five rookie pick, you know, just because he was a top 10 drafted quarterback. I'm very curious to see how that works out, because it feels like that's what next year might be. Again, there's so much time. Like, remember, Joe Burrow wasn't a thing until, you know, the year he got drafted. Like,
But that year, that year we were already it was the Tua year, and you know,
We had Tua there. But I'm just saying, like, things can happen out, you know, in that last in that year. You know, we can't count any chickens before hatching it all. But I'm very curious to see how this year works out.
Yeah, I am too. Realistically, the historical hit rate, even like among first rounders, is not as good as you might think. Like, the number of quarterbacks who are even on their original team, like past the rookie contract, is very low. So I think
Trevor Lawrence out of that group.
From 3 years ago, the only one standing with the original team.
Yep.
That's going to start this year. Trevor Lawrence. Right. So
John, we got running backs apparently. So what do we got?
Yes. Zamir White. The flavor of the, I don't know, however long you want to call it, week, month, off season, Zamir White. Just curious, before I give you his value, what pick value do you think he equates to in the calculator?
2.6.
Travis?
Oh, man. So that is that exactly mid-second?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 2.25, just so I go under.
You guys are both very close. He was 207.
Dang it.
I was thinking that he was raising up a little bit because I wouldn't say, I would take the pick. But the 207, when I looked that up, he is 5.6 in the calculator. That does come in at the 2.07. And then I was like, okay, I don't really feel – now I feel pretty good about the giving the 207 for, you know, starting running back for this year probably. Then I reversed my position based on if I can get him for the 207. I have seen others suggest, I've seen suggestions on Twitter that he is, you know, closer to that early second, late first range. And that seemed crazy to me.
I have seen it.
I know. I've seen the trade. And then somebody goes and takes that pick and gets, you know, Jonathan Brooks or Trey Benson. And I'm like,
literally, I saw Zamir White go for the 201. Yeah.
And then the 201 probably was able to craft Benson.
Well, which... I mean, I've been lazy and haven't updated my Trade Addicts ADP in a week. But with five full drafts, the 201 ADP is Jonathan Brooks, and Trey Benson is the 204. So you're like, with an early second for Zamir White, you're getting your choice of those two rookies.
Yeah, and I've seen him moved over the last week during rookie drafts, and it always did feel like it was an early second. 207 I felt okay with that.
Yeah,
actually.
That's actually, I think that makes sense. Cause like in this class, like once you get past that mark in this class, you're talking about it. There is a kind of a cliff actually.
Yes. I'm looking at it. Yeah.
Right at the 2.07, like right after that, it's like whatever board's gone in any direction. So, because when we can lay that out a little bit, and Russ, if you have it right in front of you, cause like right at the end of that tier, you got like your 80 Mitchell, or like if somebody like Xavier Leggett dropped there, or you know, if somebody like Ricky Pearsall, or because like at least collective perception, like everyone has their favorite, and that's who will be next, you know. But I'm just saying, in terms of consensus, he's sitting right on the cliff. That's fun.
Yeah. I mean, the running back that's available there is Blake Corum, probably.
Blake Corum and Jalen Wright.
So, but
again, that's fair, because like Corum, coaching stats already come out. Like Corum's not the guy. Like he's not. Period. Like he's there to relieve Kyren Williams.
I would probably want Zamir White over Core for this year. I mean, that's how I would treat and a running back I'm taking in the second. It's
the way we deal running backs. We're not thinking of beyond, but this year there's no one. What Lobby, or is that how you say his name? I think that's who the Raiders drafted in, like, in the
Lobby.
Yeah, he's not. And he was fun. Like at New Hampshire, he led his team in rushing, receiving, punt return, and kick return yards, all of them. He wasn't super efficient with his rushing, but he was at least a prolific, you know, receiving back and whatever. But no, I don't think he's going to be like the guy. Exactly. So
So you're
and when you compare
to threaten him,
when you compare the pedigree of Zamir White to
come on, get that.
I mean,
out of here.
He was no five star. Him. I know, but it's just funny because like they're teammates now. But he was like the five star of five stars, demigod talent, and then like New Hampshire running back. And now they're teammates.
Don't alienate our very heavy New Hampshire fan base.
Sorry, New Hampshire. You're not exactly known for your college football or anything.
I'm curious if we have a listener in New Hampshire.
Sorry about that. Probably because there's nothing to do in New Hampshire. So obviously there's a bunch of like high percentage of fantasy football players there.
New Hampshire's catching strays. All right. So it sounds like we're all taking Zamir White at the 207. Do we want to go up? You guys said 205, 206. Are you giving those?
Well, at this point, it's like, how did the board fall? Like, there's one player really that I really like Roman Wilson on the Steelers. Like, he's the one player in my list of ADP who's below. He's at the 211.
I was gonna say he consensus is below there, and
I take him like once we hit around that 205 area, I'll start taking him anyway. But he's the one player. If he's still on the board, I want him over Zamir White. But
let's go Ricky Pearsall or Zamir White.
Again, if now we have to talk as if we're a competing team because we're talking about a running back, I would take White.
Yeah, I would too, because Pearsall is a fake first rounder. So
I think that's my range where I split the difference. Like you said, if you're competing, I want the running back. If I'm not, give me the young wide receiver. I will always take that over a running back.
Yeah. Even if you don't like the profile.
I'll just bet on the position because I will always bet on the wide receiver position over running back. All right, let's get to a list. So I don't have a list versus other running backs because there's not really a lot. Oh, there was one. So I'll just go either or, and then we'll do the list. Zamir White or Tony Pollard. You can get them both for the same thing. You want Pollard, Russ?
He's better. And I know that he's in a more complicated situation, but I have more faith in Pollard as a player than I do White as a player in that situation at this point.
Titans fan, Travis, Pollard or White?
I think Pollard. And I think they understand that Tajay is just a one contract back anyway. And like they don't want to lean on him heavy. I think Pollard is probably the 1A. And it's going to be a committee, but I think Pollard ends up being the 1A.
Agree.
I'll take either. I don't care. They're the same, exactly the same to me. I would probably send the offer at the same time to both managers. And if one of them hits accept, good.
That's also a very fair point. Like, you made me choose, so I chose.
I know. And then I'm not going to make myself choose. All right, the quick list. We have Zamir White, Jameson Williams, Pat Freiermuth. And then I checked this repeatedly to make sure I had the Superflex tight end premium setting on. And I did. And there's a quarterback down at 5.3 value, who I think he's the starter of his team. Daniel Jones.
Yeah, there's no respect there. And he's most likely the starter.
Like, I mean, I am not kidding. The amount, like, I kept figuring that I had the settings messed up. Nope. I was like, how in the world is Daniel Jones? He comes in on the calculator at a 4.9. A starting quarterback in Superflex.
Too high.
I'm sorry. I'm giving my 207, but I mean, for that value, it's actually like the 208, 209. I am giving that all day for a starting quarterback. I figured that my worst outcome is maybe I can get a 2025 second, which I would take for a late 2024 second. I'll reset the clock on that. So I was shocked, but I found it very entertaining, obviously, that Daniel Jones is on this list.
He's at the top of my list. Like, I'll go.
He's the lowest valued in the calculator.
Oh, yeah. Daniel Jones, Zamir White, Freiermuth, and Jameson for me.
Like, so did you know that if you stepped onto a field, either of you guys, any of us three, stepped onto a football field,
we'd have as many
caught the snap and chucked the ball out of bounds, we would have a superior passer rating to Daniel Jones last year?
First of all, that's bad. That's really, really bad. But the situation, like, I get that, you know, we had a little bit of Tommy DeVito fun, but that situation was pure trash. Like, there was nothing Daniel Jones could have done. That O-line was non-existent. The guy we wanted to be their pass catcher, both of them, both Wandale and Darren Waller, were out like the entire season. Jalen Hyatt never did he play? Probably. I don't know. But like, that's a problem. Like, there was nothing there for the quarterback of that team to do. And yeah, they horribly overpaid Daniel Jones. Like, that was, you know, swing and a miss. But I will not hold last year against him, especially with I never believed what he did the year before was real.
No,
he had a very, very, very good season with absolute trash. But like, I didn't think the hole in the ground was that deep for next season. So I'm willing to be like, all right, he had a year off. He got all those injuries out of the way. They brought in Malik Nabers. Fingers crossed they did something for their offensive line. That, and they got Theo Johnson, who you said was good but got injured, right? You know, so. Fingers crossed.
I like Theo. I think he could be something.
Like, and not to say he's going to be Travis Kelce or anything, but a dependable pass catcher is all they need. And especially, hopefully, fingers crossed, one that stays on the field. So, like, I'm still fine with, again, like, Daniel Jones I don't want as my QB2, though I think I do have one team where he is. But I...
He's a great QB4 on your Superflex roster. Yeah.
But for this value, why not have him? Because if he comes out scoring 13, 14 points a game, it's way worth that late of a pick.
Yeah. I mean, my list is exactly the same as yours, Russ.
Yeah.
Like... Sadly,
I want Muth to be a thing, but it doesn't seem like. And Russell Wilson,
a passing incompletion.
Heard about tight ends.
A passing incompletion is a passer rating of 39.6. I wasn't exaggerating.
I didn't think you were, actually.
Daniel Jones had a passer rating last year of 36.3. In fact, if you go back the past four seasons, he has 38 combined passing touchdowns. So, hard out for me. Like, there's not even a single really, like, any price on earth that I'm remotely interested in. It's cool. Like, they're going to find out that he is indeed bad, and Malik Nabers is going to get 150 targets and do some fun things with him because he's Malik Nabers. But they're going to be moving on and drafting one of anything that moves, like, at all with two arms next year. And
100%.
Oh yeah. This is not a long term move.
If not, have him replaced by midseason by Drew.
Yeah, they might be looking, like, off the street by midseason. I mean, this is not a long term.
Just get Tommy DeVito back in there. Like, at least fans like him. Like,
oh God, like, he's the perfect fit for New York, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh man.
No, I mean, I'm dead serious. Like, there's just, I don't know what the distribution would look like for, you know, to bet like the number of games exactly that he starts this year, but it is not high. So in terms of the midpoint, so no, our pass.
I'm curious, if you set it at 8, do you think he starts 8 games?
Maybe. I say the midpoint's probably closer to 10.
Do the Giants want to win?
No. So they might just keep chucking him out. They paid. You go out there and you take the punishment. Give us our money back.
They did try to patch the offensive line up a little bit, and they brought in Nabers. So I don't know. But it's still a mess.
They're trying to build a team for sure, but like, if they're going into the season, they lose their first three games, and they're just like, all right, well, we can go get Beck early, you know, if he comes out and has a good season. Like, they're not gonna the coaches want to keep their jobs. The coach. Probably, you know, if you have that much of a losing season, chances are he's not around. Maybe even the GM is gone. So they're going to try and win. But still, like, and I don't know what the free agent QB class looks like coming in, but for next year, but I don't think they leave it all out on the field and try and scrape their way into missing the playoffs by four games. Like that's a losing season in many aspects.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I mean, sorry. Look, we're sorry, talking about a gross running back, and we're going
to. I was just having a lot of fun hearing Travis be so negative. So I was waiting for Marvin to keep filling out. Like I don't remember you ever really talking like this about anybody. So I'm like, okay, let's keep going.
No, he's bad.
All right. Yeah. Well, I'm lifting us out of this bad, bad area, and we're going on an elevator. We're going up a couple of flights. Like we're going up there. He's singing something and I couldn't hear it.
I was like, our listeners are going to be freaked out.
We're going on a trip in our favorite rocket ship. I don't know why.
To the sky, little Einstein.
There you go. You got it. So I don't know what you said. Like what something you said triggered that song in my head. I apologize.
I said none of those words, but it's fine. So I have been
something on a rocket ship or we're going something. I don't know.
I said we're going on an elevator, but okay. I've been intrigued with the value of Drake London for weeks now. I love the concept of
for years now. Actually, you meant to say for his entire career. Yeah,
yeah, fair enough. But like, especially recently, because I've known the concept of double counting in dynasty value for years, but it's becoming so much more apparent in the past year or two. Like we have Devon Achane, who we held like before the NFL draft, he was before the combine, he was thought of as like a mid-second guy because he was fast. And then he runs in the combine and he was fast. So we boosted him up. Like
you guys maybe.
The royal we. I didn't boost him until he landed in Miami because he landed in Miami and that was the best landing spot.
Yeah.
But like we value a player because of the possible, like in the non-point scoring season, let's just spell that out because when someone's scoring points, that's way more important. But like, let's go specific. Let's talk Drake London. During the season last year, the people who aren't competing are sitting there saying, Arthur Smith is gone. So I'm not lowering Drake London's value. This is Drake London's value because next year it's going to get better. They fire Arthur Smith. Drake London's value goes up a little bit. His quarterback has to get better. They have to get better. They go and get Kirk Cousins. His value goes up a little bit. Like everything that happened, like we had these things baked into his value already. Based on what we've seen out of Drake London in his, what, two-year career, he should not be a top 14 wide receiver. There's no reason for it. But he is. And it's because of what could be with what will be happening. And to me, it's more likely you bake in your top 14, top 12, top 14 value. And then if it doesn't go that way, you drop him. Like, oh, they didn't sign a quarterback and they're going with Desmond Ridder again. All right, back to wide receiver 18. You know, but no, like we held him up at like 16 and then Arthur Smith fired 15, you know, Kirk Cousins 14. Like we kept double counting his value. And especially again with rookie season rolling around, you know, both with teams I have London and teams where I don't, I've had a lot of off trade offers both ways. And of course, it's exactly like you think. Every trade where someone's trying to give me London, they're asking the world for him, but whenever someone's asking for London for me, it's like 2 seconds, you know? And so I've been so stuck on value on London's value that I needed to talk to him. And I got like, I opened up the list of the people we talked about and I saw his name on there. I'm like, and then I realized it was in January. So I'm like, nope, bring it back. So Drake London you know, we can still talk this year's picks because, you know, not everyone is crazy like us and had all of your rookie drafts done already. So Drake London is worth the 106, which in a super flex tight end premium league, you're talking at least for Mighty, you're talking Odunze. You know, Bowers has been constantly going at that 104, 105 area. That's a lie. At that 105, every once in a while, someone bites over neighbors. But we're pretty much talking Drake London or Rome Odunze here, or whoever at the 106 if you want to stick with the pick value. So what do you guys think?
I think he might be talking Drake May. I've seen him more.
He's been raising as time goes.
Every draft I was in, he went like he was the last of the quarterbacks and outside of Harrison and Neighbors. And it was usually like him or Bowers flip flopping. So 106 Drake London. I'm probably going to take the 106. I'm either going to get a quarterback that's younger. I'm going to get Brock Bowers. I think I would take London over Adunze, maybe. But like I'm not going to have to make that decision because at the 106, I'm getting a player that I value higher than Drake London.
So, you know, that rookie pull mock thing that I do every year. So based on those results, and we're talking about thousands of votes, you know, like, I don't know, like 10,000 votes or something across all the polls. It goes Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., Jaden Daniels, Malik Neighbors. And actually Drake May is fifth barely there for fifth. And so you're talking about like Rome Odunze, J.J. McCarthy, Brock Bowers. And I actually saw Bowers drop some because the Raiders landing spot is so I don't know what the heck to do, that type deal. So I don't know. I think he's more proven than, Odunze is obviously. I like Odunze profile, but I think there's a break to get to him. And Bowers, if Bowers is there, I think I prefer Bowers, you know, but personally, because I have Bowers higher than a lot of people, but in my opinion, I believe higher than consensus anyway. So I think I'd probably lean Bowers over him, but 1.06. I think I probably just prefer London, not knowing anything else.
So I kind of love now that I was lazy and didn't update my my ADP, because in the first five drafts that were done, and these were finished last Tuesday, Drake May has an ADP of the 108. He was drafted as early as six and as
that
late.
Is absolutely freaking wild that people are letting him drop that far.
And he has absolutely, like, it will go up. His ADP will be higher when I put in the rest, because I believe they're all pretty much done at this point. So when I add the rest of the Trade Addicts leagues in, he will jump up to probably the six at this point, just because it'll be hard for him to, the earliest he'll be drafted is five. So I don't think he'll get up that high in ADP. But no, like, yeah, in the beginning, like right after the NFL draft, I don't understand why, because he was mocked to the Patriots at three since the beginning of time. But then he gets drafted to the Patriots at three and his value drops.
What are you doing?
I have no idea, but that's literally what happened. I'll take London at this point against all of those, because I wasn't the biggest London fan coming in. But he's good. We've seen him do pretty well with complete trash going on. Like, I'm fine. Like, I believe enough in the player. I know enough of the player. And if we want to talk quarterbacks, like, maybe McCarthy feels safe. He could be mediocre and still be a good fantasy producer because of the pieces around him. May has to be good with the pieces around him. And so that's really depends on how you feel. And Odunze, again, well, we can't say we know he's good. He's a very good prospect. He did very, very well in college, but he's also going in with a rookie quarterback and has Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and the ever, for some reason, loved Cole Kmet. With DeAndre Swift in the backfield, that shouldn't be written off. Like, that's a very – it'll be great for the NFL. It's great for their football team, not great for his fantasy value. So, like, give me London, who, yeah, he has – Kyle Pitts there and Bijan, but still, like, we've seen Drake London do better already at that point. So I'll take London over the 106, which is why people offering me 2 seconds or asking for the 103 are both ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really, I mean, London's like, well, actually, I know one of the names you're going to ask about in a minute, so I'll hold off.
So this is a gigantic tier. And I threw in one name that I think is going to be on the top of the list, but he was close, so I put him in anyway just to let John think about his favorite wide receiver. So my list is Drake London, Brandon Ayuk, Chris Olave, Michael Pittman, and Jalen Waddle. Did I list the name you were thinking?
Yes, you did. Yep, because they're basically the same thing on paper. So, okay. So you said, just to recap here, Drake London, and then you got Michael Pittman and Brandon Ayuk and Jalen Waddle and Chris Olave?
Correct.
Okay. I think I know who John and I will both have on top here.
Yeah, I really just did it. Like, he is the most valuable in the calculator. And
oh, okay.
I really could have left him off, but his name was right there, and I just wanted to.
You're talking about John Olave, happy. Right?
Yeah. It makes John happy to talk about Chris Olave, so he threw him in there.
Always. Yeah, he was – I wrote him down number one easily.
Yeah, like easily. Yeah.
Instant. Okay. It was really nice. It was really nice. I didn't have to think too hard. And then there were four other names.
Okay. I think I'll go. So I've got Chris Olave, Drake London, and then I'll go – oh, man. Then Jalen Waddle.
How much do you ding Pittman for having Richardson as his quarterback?
Yeah. Brandon Ayuk and then Michael Pittman to round things out. Yeah.
Enough to put Pittman at the bottom.
Yeah. But no, I mean, so, and I'll elaborate on the Pittman thing, because like we just kind of saw, like, so Michael Pittman, he was the name that I was thinking of, because he profile wise and like with like after the capital anyway, because he didn't get that level of capital, but like what he did when he came into the league and like how he won, his size, you know, that kind of deal. There were a lot of things similar, and so like in the like the lack of a high ceiling, you know, early on, there are a lot of things to kind of pull and say, okay, they kind of look similar. But I think I've mentioned this before, maybe on one of the first episodes I ever joined you guys for. Pittman just saw 156 targets last year, and I know they weren't like super high quality for much of the season, I guess, but 156 targets, and he got 1,100 yards and four touchdowns, and so I'm not sure what other kind of ceiling we want to scrape at with him, but you know, maybe he has a couple more touchdowns, but he had 109 catches for 1,150, you know, like, maybe I don't know, because like, how that offense is set up, what they just did is they just brought in AD Mitchell to be the guy whose ADOT is further down the field. Alec Pierce couldn't play that role because he's bad, but like AD Mitchell, they're going to have him plug in and be the vertical stretcher. And Pittman is not that. They're going to be like the mid-tier AD, you know, ADOT rather. And so, and where he gets the targets probably isn't going to change dramatically. So I think he's probably going to have 150 targets to scrape what he just did. And they already have Josh Downs, who was impressive last year, and they just took AD Mitchell. And so I think the target distribution flattens out maybe a little bit in that offense. And so we may have just seen the best season that Pittman's ever going to have. So that's why I have him at the bottom.
So my list is obviously Olave at the top. Mm-hmm. That was easy. Mm-hmm. I have Jalen Waddle second, and Drake London third, and then I have Pittman fourth, Ayuk fifth. Let me say, I am not offended they have any of these guys on my roster.
I love all of them, to be honest.
Like, this is a really nice tier of wide receiver that I like to have on my roster. So it's a lot of splitting hairs. The only real easy one was Olave at the top.
That was supposed to be like, yeah. Again, like that was really just for fun.
I really think the other four are all in a tier. It's just splitting hairs and shuffle them kind of however you want, honestly.
Yeah.
The old breath of fresh air argument.
Yeah. My order's the same as John's. I'm very curious about what's going to happen with Debo. I read one tweet and it's been stuck in my head, and I'm taking it as gospel at this point, but I didn't even look into it to see if they were right. But Debo's contract becomes insanely tradable after June 1st. And they were already talking about trading him during the draft, which means they might go and move him. And of course, to me, Pearsall doesn't mean that. Like, those two are not, like, if they went and like drafted Roman Wilson, Malachi Corley, these guys that we came into the process being like, this is the next Debo, you get a little more worried about them specifically moving Debo. Pearsall's not that, so that's not even playing into what I'm thinking, but like, I want that to happen to see what happens with Ayuk. Ayuk deserves to be the guy. He's that good. And like when Purdy first came in to starting, it seemed like that they had that connection. And then last year, it just didn't happen. Like it seemed like they indoctrinated him into that system as opposed to letting Purdy play, and letting Purdy play means throwing the ball to Ayuk a lot. So I'm very curious to see what happens if Debo isn't there. Of course, I don't think the system changes, but you know, it might just give Ayuk more of the volume. And I'm with John putting Olave and Waddle first and second because we both really, really like those two guys. A little worried what happens if Olave doesn't show out this year. Not that I'll stop liking him, but his value will fall if he doesn't show out, even though he still just has Derek Carr. And I've always liked Pittman. And even if last year was the best year he has, he still slots in as a very good high-end wide receiver too. And low-end one, high-end two is what this area of wide receivers, our hope is, really. Sorry. So I'm all for that. Sorry, my phone is blowing up. But I think we are... Actually, you know what? No, I have one question that has absolutely nothing to do with anything, but I have a Titans fan here. Has Calvin Ridley announced his number yet?
I don't think so.
I need to know, because I need... I have my Falcons 18 right here. I thankfully didn't buy the Jaguars 0. First of all, because I hate that he went number 0. And I'm really, really hoping he does not go number 0 on the Titans, because I'm going to buy the Titans jersey because he has a real contract.
Yeah.
So I'm just, I don't know. Like, I need to know. Forget rookies, anything.
I forgot. Yeah, he did that a while ago. I was forgetting. It's still going to be 0.
Yes. That makes me so happy.
Yeah. Yeah, because I was forgetting, because I was waiting on, I was like, no, he wasn't a part of the new drop this week, but all those were rookies. And I was like, oh yeah, he's going to be 0.
Russ just crumbled into himself on screen.
Sorry.
And on that note, folks, we are going to close down the trading floor, something along those lines. Follow at @FF_TravisM.
That's right.
Dynasty Outhouse, @JohnBoschFF on Twitter. Ring the bell. We're out of here.